sure whether the others were there, but Bartimaeus was there, and Jesus was there, and the disciples were there, and others maybe had told about the wonderful things that the Lord Jesus did. It's a long walk from Jericho up to Jerusalem. Probably takes a couple of days to get there. And as they were walking up, they were trying to find about the Lord Jesus. They were going there earlier to be purified. They were going up now in order to get the blessing, but Bartimaeus was going with them. As they were going along that day, Zacchaeus was there. And Zacchaeus got saved on that same journey. And they probably got excited about that. When they were going from Jerusalem up to the temple, they would go through the city of Bethany, the little village of Bethany. What happened in Bethany? Lazarus was raised from the dead in Bethany, probably just a few days, if not a few weeks earlier. If you've been passing through Bethany, do you think you might have heard about what happened when Lazarus was raised from the dead? Do you think there was anybody in Bethany who didn't know that Lazarus had been raised from the dead? 4 days he was in the dead. Do you think that noise of that would have gone like wildfire through town? And as they were going up, the people said, "Listen, this is the man who was dead. He's been raised. 4 days after dying, he was raised. He came out of the tomb." I think they would have tried to go over and see Lazarus. They would have been talking about it. What do you do when you're walking up the hill for 2 days? You talk about the blind man who could see and the dead man who was alive. And they would talk about it and talk about it and talk about it as they were going up. Well, we don't know all the details, but it is probable that there were enough theologians there who realized that it was just about this time, according to the prophecy of Daniel, that the Messiah was going to come. As a matter of fact, it was precisely this time. And they would have known. Those Bible students of those days, they would have been able to interpret Daniel chapter 9 well enough to know that it's just about at this time that the Messiah is going to be made known. And these people, they had a lot of things going for them, didn't they? They were listening, they're paying attention. They realized that they had to get to the Passover early enough to be cleansed so that when they were there, they were doing the work of God the way God intended them to do it. And they were all excited, and they decided that they wanted to follow the Lord. Well, you might just want to turn over to the book of Luke chapter 19. We don't have time to go into all of this, but I'm just giving you some highlights. Luke chapter 19. Luke 19. And we'll take a look at verse 32. This is the Palm Sunday story. "And they that were sent and went their way found even as the Lord had said, and they were loosing the donkey. The owners thereof said, 'Why loose ye him?' And they said, 'The Lord has need of him.' And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments on the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.'" It was almost an irrepressible, logical conclusion, wasn't it? Can I give you the seven things before, or the six? Number one, they were zealous enough to come early for purification. These people meant business for God. Number two, they'd been listening to him for 3 years and hearing his teaching and seeing his miracles. Number three, they'd seen the witness of Bartimaeus and the others. They were all healed as blind people. Zacchaeus, they'd seen his conversion. They heard about the story of Bethany and the healing of Lazarus, and some of them had probably even gone into Bethany and met Lazarus, and they knew about Daniel's prophecy. And they said, "This is the Son of God. This is the fulfillment of the prophecy." And that particular day, on that Palm Sunday, they acknowledged it. What happened? few days later, when in the middle of the night Judas led them to the Garden of Gethsemane, which was just down the road. This picture, by the way, as Ronald's been showing us some other pictures, this picture is from the west, looking toward the east. You can see the Mosque of Omar on the top. The story takes place just the other side of the hill beyond the Mosque of Omar there. What was different about what happened that night? And I tried to make a list of some of the things that were behind the people who decided that they would kill him rather than anoint him king. Number one, it's very interesting. Their story all took place at night. When they announced that he was king, when he was riding down the mountain on the donkey, it was daylight. When they said, "We don't want this man to rule over him," they did it at night. Is that significant? Yes, the Lord Jesus said, "Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil." It's interesting that when they were going up the hill, they were following the Lord Jesus. But that night they were following the men, were following God. They were following people who said they were God's representatives, but if they'd taken a close look at them, they would have known that they were phonies. All kinds of people today say, "I believe in God." And you say, "Well, tell me more." And they say, "Well, I don't know anymore. You've got to speak to so-and-so." You see, we follow men. What a tragedy. They would all have told you, if you met them, "Do you believe in God?"
"Yeah."
"Are you a good Jew?"
"Yeah."
"You here for the Passover feast?"
"Yep."
But you see, in their heart, they were totally different, weren't they? The third thing I noticed about them is that these people were happy to ignore the miracles. Blind Bartimaeus, they saw him. Lazarus raised from the dead, they saw him. On this particular night, you remember the miracle. Peter got his sword, cut off the man's ear, servant of the high priest cut his ear off, or reached down, put it back on again. And then they all said, "Okay, well, let's proceed to kill him." What? Here's Herod. You remember what Herod did. Herod said, "Now, what I would like to do, I want to meet Jesus because I want to see him do a miracle." What would you have said if you were standing beside Herod there? "Well, then, hang on a minute, Herod," and I'd call over the servant of the high priest, wouldn't I? And I'd say, "Listen, Herod, take a look at that. See that guy's ear? What do you think of that?" And Herod would say, "Ooh, isn't that marvelous?" And then he'd say, "You know, that was chopped off just a few minutes ago, maybe an hour ago, maybe even 2 hours ago. It was just chopped off. And then Jesus put it back on. Do you think he did a good job, Herod?" Herod said, "I want to see him to do a miracle right now. I'm not impressed by a miracle he did a few hours ago, you know. I want to see him do a miracle right now." What kind of a foolish man was Herod? These are the people who put the Lord Jesus Christ to death. You've noticed it as we've noticed it. That particular night, there was a complete ignorance of the miracles, but there was an ignorance of justice. You study the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's a terrible story. Justice was set aside. Those people who said Jesus Christ is king, they believed in the justice of God. Those people who said crucify him, they said, "We don't care about what's right. We don't care about justice." As a matter of fact, they went from that to mocking the Lord Jesus Christ. They laughed at him. People on Palm Sunday worshipped him, acknowledged that he was the Messiah, but the people at that particular night, they just laughed at him. "We can make another joke about Jesus," they said. And then they sat in their corner and laughed and laughed. The Bible says not only did they laugh, but they blasphemed, and they said terrible things about God and terrible things about him, things that were not repeatable. And when it was all over, it's very interesting, they stole his garments, didn't they? He was on the cross, and they decided that what they would do was take his clothes for themselves. I don't know, I would think they could have given them to the next of kin, couldn't they? But these soldiers said, no, 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 he's got some nice clothes, we'll take them ourselves. What kind of people were they who said, let's put him on the cross? They're a pretty disreputable bunch. They were a different people, weren't they, than those who said, he's the Messiah. Both from the same city and the same country. Both exposed to the same grace and love and miraculous teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. Both with the same history. Both with the same warnings from God. One group says, we've come to the feast. We're going to do it right. The other people say, we've come to the feast because we're supposed to come to the feast, and we'll, and the night before, we spend the whole night getting rid of the one for whom the feast was designed in the first place. Is there a difference? Yeah. I found it very interesting. When they went into the city of Jerusalem, when he was going down to Jerusalem, when they were on Palm Sunday, when they were at his side, and he was coming down the hill, they did two things. Number one, they took their clothes, they put it on the donkey, and then they put their clothes on the ground. And I mentioned this to you before, that they did that in order to prove, in order to say, listen, my uniform is no longer for me. I'm putting all before Jesus. Surrender is the word. That's the Old Testament story, 2 Kings chapter 9. We won't go into that. But that's the picture. They took their garments and they put them at the feet of Jesus. They put them at the feet of Jesus' donkey, and they said, we are your servant. But they also took palm fronds. I figured that those palm fronds were from the dates. The city is called the city of dates, Bethany, the city of dates. And I think that there were a lot of date palms around there. And I think they took those date palms and they put them down. And the date palms would speak of the fruit of their lives. And I think they were basically saying, listen, Jesus, the fruit of my life is going to be for you. That's a very interesting question, isn't it? The fruit of your life. Who's it for? Those who put him to death said, the fruit of my life is for myself. As a matter of fact, I don't mind taking his clothes and having them for myself too. But the man of God said, no, the fruit of my life, my clothing, it's all going to be for God. I'm going to live for his glory. What an amazing contrast. And then, of course, there's the third story that we haven't read, and that's the story of Joel chapter 3. And that story says that in that same valley, down to the brook Kidron, that valley, there is coming a day. That's a very good picture of it. The old city, the towers in the background weren't there in the old day, but the city was just beyond, as you can see it there, in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord says that there's coming a day when all nations will be gathered just this side of that wall. And one after another, in the valley of Jehoshaphat, in the valley of decision, the word Jehoshaphat means Jehovah is the judge. In the valley of decision, in the valley of Jehoshaphat, each person who is alive in that day is going to come before the Lord Jesus Christ. He will be the judge. He will say, listen, one day I was judged in this valley in the Garden of Gethsemane. Today it's your turn to be judged. One day, he says, I was judged on this hill just over to my right. And he says, today it's your turn to be judged. And my question to us all today is, okay, so which of the two groups are we? Now, if this had been 2,000 years ago, ago, they all would have been sitting in the same church building. They all would have been saying the same kind of words. They probably all would have been singing the same hymns. But you see, they were two totally different groups. One was devoted to the Lord and said yes, and the other was going through motions. One day the Lord is going to be separating. Matthew 25 says, when he does that in the valley of Jehoshaphat, in that day, the valley of decision, he'll divide the sheep from the goats. The sheep will be on the right hand, the goats on the left. One of the problems of our day is that so much is sort of blended together. And you look at the world out there, is it easy to tell the Christian from the non-Christian? Not always. In the days of the Lord, they would all go to the synagogue. Ronald showed us some pictures of the present Wailing Wall and so on, and the Jews go in there by the hundreds of thousands, and the other people, and they all go there. And some of them love the Lord Jesus, and some of them don't. How can you tell the difference? And the answer is, you tell the difference by saying, listen, do we take this? That's it. That's where they go to worship today. That's supposed to be the most holy spot in the world as far as the Jew is concerned today. And the question, of course, is which group? One group says, he's the king. The other group says, get rid of him. All Jews. All at the same feet. But totally different hearts. Lord, we want to thank you for the privilege of seeing the truths of God. We thank you for what you did so long ago. We marvel that you remind us of what you're going to be doing in the future. And Lord, the fact is that we don't want to be like that second group that said, rule him, crucify him. We won't have this man to reign over us. Lord, we don't want to be like that. Lord, we pray that you'll give us enough wisdom to be bold in our acknowledgement that Jesus Christ really is Lord and King. Lord, may we be bold enough to say that I'm going to follow him. I want his uniform. I'm going to follow him. I want the fruit of my life to be for his glory. Lord, would you bless? Would you do your work amongst us? Would you help us, Lord, as we try to tell other people about the Lord Jesus? We're just praying, Lord, that we might be real, sincere, and not like those terrible priests and all who followed them, who took the blessed Lord Jesus Christ and said, we don't want him, put him on a cross. So, Lord, we give thanks. Bless us, we pray. We thank you for the privilege of being together for lunch and in our studies this afternoon.